Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, I invite you to try to imagine being one of Jesus' apostles. So you were with him for 3 years. During that time, you heard all of his wonderful teachings. You saw his amazing miracles. You were part of that great Palm Sunday celebration when so many people welcomed him into the city. With all of that, you were convinced that yes, indeed, Jesus, he must be that one promised to Adam and Eve. He must be the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, the one promised to come to take away the sin of the world. It's got to be him. But then, late on Holy Thursday, or from a Jewish perspective, early on Good Friday, you saw him arrested. You saw him so greatly mistreated. You saw him nailed to a cross, and you saw him dead on that cross. When his final breath came out, your final thread of hope in all that he stood for was broken. What happened then with the apostles? They were afraid. They were hiding. They were thinking, because they have killed our leader, maybe they're looking for us. Maybe they're going to kill us too. Maybe they're going to nail us to a cross. As we go to our text in Luke chapter 24, we pick up with what happened very early on that first Easter Sunday, right at sunrise. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, a group of women who trusted in Jesus went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared for his proper burial." You might recall how when he died on the cross, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Good Friday, there was definitely some preparation of his body made, but not quite time to do everything properly. They had to have him in the tomb. That had to be done before the end of Good Friday. And from a Jewish perspective, it ended at 6 o'clock. So they had to quickly get it done, get him into the tomb, and get the stone rolled in place. What had Jesus told his followers over and over again? He had told them, here's one example. He said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished." See, the Old Testament becomes so important. The Old Testament is about 3/4 of the Bible, and the Old Testament is telling us all about Jesus. So many people just focus on the new, but when you know the old, it brings the new to life in a way that you just never saw before. And for all these years and all these different things, all pointing to Jesus Christ. So he said, "It was all written about me." And then he went on to say, "He will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon, and after flogging him, they will kill him." Jesus told them all of that, and then he said, "On the third day, he will rise." So the apostles heard it, and they heard it over and over again, but did they forget about it? Or did they not believe what Jesus said? We're not quite sure, but it must have been one or the other. But what about us, though? Did we really believe what Jesus said about who he is, the Almighty God in human flesh? Go back to Genesis chapter 1, when the Bible says, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and that was before the creation of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Who said those words? That was the very Son of God who said those words. That's the kind of power his word has. So when he said to Lazarus, come out, he came to life and he came out of the tomb. That is the same one who put on human flesh and came among us to take away the sin of the world. Do we believe that? And do we believe that when he was on that cross, that God the Father actually gathered up every sin and put it upon him? And that would include your sins and mine too. Even though we had not yet committed them, God says he knows the end from the beginning. So he knows everything we're going to fall into in life. He knows that about every person of all time. And the Bible says he took every sin of every person and put it on Jesus, and those became as if they were his. And then he took all the punishment. Do we really believe that's true? Or are we sitting there thinking, oh, dear God, I know I did this, I know I said that. How could you let me into heaven? Are we thinking that way? If we believe that Jesus really took those sins and he really took the punishment of God, we should know that there is no double jeopardy. So God can't punish us too because he has already punished his son. So when we have Jesus, that means that our punishment is all gone for eternity. Now, is it true that we fall into things in this life and we suffer the consequences in this life? Yes, we do. That's true. But the good part, though, is that all the bad stuff we've done, when it comes to eternity, Jesus has taken care of all of it. God wants us to know that in Christ we are forgiven. Do we believe that? Do we believe, like the Bible teaches, like Jesus said, that he is the only way to heaven? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We oftentimes hear in the world today that there are many paths to heaven. And that sounds like a nice thing to say, but the problem is, if anyone would say that, they are completely disagreeing with the Bible. There are many places in the Bible where it says Jesus is the one and only way. But the good part, though, is that he is the one and only way for everyone. No one is left out. If people are holding on to something else for heaven, whether it's the good that they do, some false religion, whatever it might be, it doesn't mean that Jesus isn't for them. The problem is they just don't have him. They don't have the benefits of what he did. So God would invite everyone to dig in here, find out the truth, find out that in fact they are in need of Jesus Christ, and then by God's grace to receive him and to have those benefits. So he did it for everyone, but we don't automatically have the benefits of what he did. If we have those benefits now, let us greatly rejoice. And if we don't yet have those benefits, God is calling us to repent. God is calling us to be sorry for our sins. God is calling us to know that Jesus is that one and only way. And God is calling us to receive him as Savior, to believe in him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to know that through him we have the forgiveness of our sins. We have the gift of heaven. Going on in the text in verse 2, it says, and the group of women who trusted in Jesus found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine their great distress? Jesus was everything to them, and then they saw him die in a very horrible way, and then to make things even worse, now his body is gone. Things can also happen in our lives that are shocking, that are unexpected for us. But do you think that God is surprised with what happens in our lives? By no means. He's never surprised. He knows all things. So God is saying to us, no matter what the circumstances are, don't get caught up in the circumstances. Don't focus on the circumstances. Trust in me. So like I said earlier, don't trust in the blessings, trust in God. And when times are tough, don't focus on the tough times. Trust in God. He will help us through. when they were in great distress, what could have brought them peace? It's a simple thing, simply to believe the impossible. Jesus said, they're going to kill me, but he also said, on the third day, I'm going to rise. If they only would have believed what he said, they could have been at peace. If they would have stepped back and said, okay, we see what's going on, we know it's a horrible thing, but we also know that every single word that Jesus spoke, it is true. So just as they're killing him, we knew that would happen. He said it would happen, but we also know that on the third day, he's going to rise. They should have all been camping out right outside the tomb so that as soon as Holy Saturday was over, they were watching for him to walk right through that tomb and come out, and they would have all been there. If they would have been believing, that's what they would have been doing. But they weren't believing. The women were going rather to finish the preparation of his dead body, not to see a risen Savior. Sometimes we can fall into that same type of thing too, and yet God calls us not to do so. God says, focus on Jesus and the things of eternity. Don't focus on the things of this life and forget about Jesus. Never a good thing. The Bible goes on in verse 4. While they were perplexed about Jesus' missing body, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to those women, why do you seek the living one among the dead ones? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. Did they need a reminder? Apparently they did. They either had forgotten or they did not believe this wonderful thing that Jesus would truly rise from the dead on the third day. Do we need reminders? I think we do. It's easy to get forgetful of the things that are most important when we have so many other things going on. Think about this perspective. When we open our eyes and look, we can see so many things. And virtually everything we see is of this temporal world. So we tend to see it and focus on it. And everything of eternity is bound up in this book. So if we stay away from the book, we're going to focus on temporary things, and it's not going to be good. When we get into the book, then God shows us eternal things, wonderful things, important things. We're going to be blessed now and forever. It's really true. I encourage you to check it out day by day. Picking up in verse 8, the Bible says, and the women remembered Jesus' words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest of Jesus' faithful followers. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, but, this is a big but the words they told seemed to the apostles an idle tale, and they did not believe them. What a sad thing. Keep in mind, these are the men who were with Jesus his entire ministry. They heard the teachings, they witnessed the miracles, and yet they did not believe those women. I think it had to be something like this. I think their common sense was greater than their faith. So they reasoned and said, we know he was nailed to that cross. We know he breathed his last. We know he's in the tomb. And with all that said, we know he has to be dead forever. It's logical. It's common sense. How many of you here today have had a friend or a loved one pass away? I think we all have, haven't we? Have you seen or talked to that friend or loved one since that time? We haven't. We can't. So it's so easy to transfer that over to Jesus and say, he looked like an ordinary man. He died too. How could he possibly be alive? Well, you must believe something else, or you wouldn't be here today on the day we celebrate the resurrection. But it's a very logical thing, though, to believe that he died and still he is dead. Now, people could even say, well, wait a minute, he did raise Lazarus from the dead, but sure, it's one thing to do a miracle on somebody else, but for yourself, though, I don't think so. So logically impossible, but yet God calls us to believe what is impossible. God calls us to believe whatever his word says. Again, think about it. On day one, that is when the Son of God said, let there be light, and there was light. What gives us light today? Why is it light outside? It wasn't until day number four that God made the sun, the moon, and the stars, the things that give us light today. So the Son of God, he doesn't need a light bulb to make light. He simply says, let there be light, and there is light. God wants us to know how powerful and awesome he is. How about this information? Now, this would also go counter to what the world would say, but do you believe this to be true, though? The Bible says that all good people who die without Jesus will be punished forever. All good people who die without Jesus will be punished forever. Do you believe that? That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Or what about this one? Do you believe that all bad people, let's say all super bad people who die with Jesus will be blessed forever? Do you believe that one? Well, again, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. There's all kinds of things that seem impossible, but God is saying, stop holding on to your common sense. Get into my word, and with every single promise, we can rely upon it. Do you know why we can? For two reasons. Every promise is backed up by God, who is almighty, so he can do anything. And then every promise is backed by God, who is holy, therefore he must do what he promises. These are awesome, awesome things God wants us to rejoice in. Finally, our last verse today, verse 12, the Bible says, but Peter, after hearing this news from the ladies, but Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. So how did Peter take action? Did Peter say, I wonder if maybe he did rise. I'm going to sit right here until Jesus shows up and shows himself to me. Is that what he did? By no means. He gets up right away and he runs all the way to the tomb to check it out for himself. He took action. What about us? How are we going to take action when we hear about this news that he is risen? Are you going to look into this whole Jesus thing in a proper way? Sometimes the Bible appears to be a big book, and for people who are not avid readers, to see a book like this and think about reading it, they would say, that is impossible, that's so monumental, I could never even begin to think about that. Let's keep in mind that this book is the most important book in the whole world, and this book has God's truth. It has truth that is sad because of the wrong we have done. It has God's truth as to how much he loves us. It has God's truth of his work of creation. It has God's truth of him coming again, and only those who know him will be with him forever. Some people might say, well, I don't know him, but I want to know him, but I don't quite know how that works. It's something that God has to do. And how does God do his work? God does his work through his word. So do you want to know Jesus? Get into his word. and God will do that work. One way to be able to get into the Word would be something we did a few years ago at the time of Lent. So we went through the whole Gospel of John. So all of our visitor packs have that Gospel of John booklet. So it's a little booklet that will lead you through the Gospel of John. And I believe if anyone went through that in a careful way, they're going to come out the other end rejoicing in Jesus Christ. God wants us to know there are wonderful things when we take that step and get into His Word. God wants us to know that taking this attitude and say, well, I think I'm a good person. I'm going to keep being good. I'm going to take my chances, and I hope things work out okay. Please, don't do that. It's not going to work out okay. Believe me, God's truth says it won't work out okay. We can know that for certain. May we take the challenge to get into His Word and to rejoice that Jesus is really, truly risen. Our sins are really, truly forgiven. All of our loved ones who have died, they will be raised when Jesus comes. When we die, God's going to raise us too. And all those who die knowing Jesus as Savior, having honored Him as Lord in their lives, all those people are going to be with God forever in a most wonderful situation. Let us know all that is true. Let us rejoice in those realities. Please join me in prayer. Dear Jesus, You came, You lived, You died, and You rose all for us. Receive our thanks. Dear Holy Spirit, enable us to set aside all human reason when it comes to the Bible. Enable us to embrace Jesus as our Savior and grant us daily lives that revolve around Him. Help us to see how Jesus, being our Savior, being our Lord, in fact, He is our all in all. And when we have Him as our everything, You will help us through this life and You will bless us forever and ever. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.